across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, February 27th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, and whether it's on one of the radio stations, through the app, social media video feeds on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever, or even on demand by podcast, it is nice to have you along on this Tuesday. I got a question for you. Do you have a pen and paper? Because I need you to write something down. We're going to be shaking up the phone number here. New phone number. Who dis? Here it is. 855-75-CIVIC. And you go, wait a minute. Does anybody spell out phone numbers anymore? I had to look at my phone. Sure enough, if I'm dialing the phone, the letters are still there on the keys. 855-75-CIVIC. Also 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to say that a lot. Get used to it. Because in part, love to get you to use that text line a little bit more. I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning. A lot of folks don't feel like getting on the horn and, you know, talking about news and politics and everything necessarily that early. But just about anybody can bang out a text message, something short and sweet about something. And we'd always love you to check in just to say, you know, hey, this is so-and-so over here, like our friends do, and, you know, Roger, and then we've got friends in Tigerton and elsewhere, and would love to have you chime on in. Tell us what's going on. For example, here's one that we got while Maggie Dawn was on yesterday. Carolyn wrote in on the text line, I am so looking forward to Maggie's show, which premiered yesterday at 2. One thing you can give this far-right movement credit for, they have forced the rest of us to learn about the laws and legal procedures. And that is very true. And Maggie helps us with that on her new afternoon show. And Carolyn chimed in on that on the text line yesterday. So we'd love to have you do the same thing at 855-75-CIVIC. All right, here's what else is coming up this morning. Republican politicians cannot backpedal fast enough on that Alabama Supreme Court ruling, that puts in vitro fertilization in jeopardy. But the question's got to be asked, what kind of stock can voters put in these new pledges from politicians who once loved to tell us that Roe v. Wade was, quote, settled law, and whose idea of being pro-child involves opposing nutrition programs, quality schools, and affordable health care? So we have to wonder about that out loud. We'll also talk to Civic Media reporter James Kelly, also based here in Chippewa Falls, about not one but two noteworthy stories coming out of Chippewa County this morning. In one case, you have some county Republican parties in the state and the Trump campaign allegedly conspiring to move money around in a way that avoids reporting requirements. We'll tell you more about the conditions behind that and what it has to do with Republican efforts to unseat Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And then at 7:30, the League of Women Voters is turning 104 this month. And to note its anniversary, we bring in Executive Director Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin to tell us how the group is celebrating birthday 104 by working to continue expanding the rights of voters. And we've got Chad Holmes coming up at the end of the program to tell us what's on his 8 o'clock show on Bull Falls Radio out of Wausau that you can also hear on the Civic Media app. And we'll hear from Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. What are we going to talk about? Well, if you're watching on one of the video feeds, you can see the numbers on your screen that tell you something's happening out there. Here on Lake Wissota, it's 29. Hayward's at 26, Park Falls 23, Wausau 30, Green Bay 30, La Crosse 33, Wisconsin Rapids 29. But then Oshkosh is at 48, Madison's at 49, and Waukesha, where we find Greg Buck, reporting 48 degrees. But you came up from Kenosha, Mr. Buck, with that happy smiley face. Where, what was the temperature when you rolled out of there?
55 degrees.
55. So there's a front a coming. And it's not just going to be a little front. It's there is the change in temperatures from now to 24 hours from now is going to be, think of a radio safe word here, annoying. That's what it's going to be. So it's going to get cold.
And actually, there's rainy. A word I want to say, but I'm not sure if I can say it.
Rainy in some parts, snowy in some parts, windy in most parts. So, but apparently, this is like a weather roller coaster. I don't have a good alliteration for it, but we have this big drop coming and some wind and precipitation of some sort, but then we warm up again right away, like back to the 50s, maybe looking at 60s or something like that. We'll find out more from Brittany. So, you know, it's what's the old joke? Theater of seasons. If you don't like it here, wait 5 minutes.
Especially this year.
Yeah. I mean, literally 5 minutes based on where the temperatures are right now. You know, so we'll see what those Oshkosh and Madison temperatures look like an hour from now. Things might be a little bit different. So you're still rather springy there. You still got your spring garb on, a little t-shirt, and a little zip up. You don't need the winter wear yet like we do up here.
Pat, I'm what you call a padded fella.
Padded, you say?
Even in the 20s and 30s, I can still wear a hoodie. And I'm not one of those guys who walks around in shorts all the time.
Okay.
But I'm already rocking like 2-3 sweaters. So just this is just a fashion statement. I got my Ted Lasso t-shirt on. I got my...
Oh, is that what that is? It says, oh, of course, it says whistle, whistle. Of course, Roy Kent.
I'm going to go see him next month live, do stand-up in Milwaukee.
Wait, he's coming to Milwaukee?
Yeah, 2 shows.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love how, why am I blanking on his name?
Brett Goldstein? Brett Goldstein? Wow.
Oh, wow. The guy who jumped on me for accidentally saying Greg Brock yesterday suddenly has trouble with a name, too, this morning.
Name, do I call you Pat Schmeitlow? No, I don't.
Well, I don't know. Let's ask Brett Goldschmein. Oh, just now. Okay. Now that we've established it's early in the morning.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
He's funny. I loved hearing his description of, he basically was in the writer's room for when they conceived of Ted Lasso, right? And and basically came to the epiphany on his own, like, he's the guy that needs to play, you know, Roy Kent, which nobody would believe because he's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart.
He's
but
so
boy,
soft.
when he gets into character, you know.
He's so soft-spoken. He's got a podcast about movies, and he talks like this, and he's just said, welcome to the podcast. It's like, I just want to listen. Just talk to me, Brett. Just talk to me. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
And I love that he is as infatuated with the Muppets as I am and many other people.
Oh,
he just
my
has
God,
such a
yes.
such a soft spot, you know, for the Muppets.
Because they're amazing. Anyone who doesn't like the Muppets can kick rocks.
There you go. All right. We got a lot to talk about yet today, but we've got more to talk about this week as we move into the headlines here. Tomorrow at 6:30, we're going to talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check about there actually is a growing number of Republicans who want to take action on a changing climate and creating jobs in an entirely new section of the economy. And yet this growing number of Republicans who want to fight climate change, they're getting undercut by Donald Trump, who doesn't just want to oppose these things, but roll back all kinds of progress and kill all kinds of progress that would create jobs in Wisconsin and elsewhere. So we've got that tomorrow with Melissa at 6:30. Tomorrow at 7:30 is our homeroom segment, and this is Public Schools Week. So all the reasons why Wisconsin was a leader in and should continue to fight for strong public schools. And then on Thursday, we've got Joe Zepecki as usual at 6:30. At 7:30, Kristen Lyerly and her Women Win Wisconsin segment will connect us with Julie Hancock of the New Blue Pack for Northeast Wisconsin women who want to affect change throughout the 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin. And then on Friday, we have our usual stable of wonderful guests. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national correspondent. Mark Jacob will help us break down media coverage of the week's big stories. And Dan Schumacher will help kick off the weekend looking at sports And what a busy sports week and sports weekend it's going to be. I mentioned that both the Bucks and the Badger men's basketball teams play tonight. I've now got the breakdown on where you can hear those games. The Bucks will be hosting the Charlotte Hornets tonight at 7. And you can hear that game on Oshkosh Air Support. That's WISS in Oshkosh, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team is in Bloomington, Indiana tonight to play the Hoosiers. Tip-off there is 6 o'clock. Catch that game on these stations, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. The Marquette men's basketball team moved up in the rankings. They were number 7 last week. They are now 5th in the nation this week. And they will be hosting Providence tomorrow evening. And then I already mentioned that both the Badger men's and hockey, the Badger men's and women's hockey teams have some big games this weekend. The men's hockey team hosts Michigan State for a chance to claim the regular season conference title. The second-ranked Badger women's hockey team hosts the first round of the conference tournament against St. Thomas Friday at 5, Saturday at 4. And then if a third game is necessary, it would be Sunday at 4 o'clock. Then we've got the Brewers. I haven't shared like spring training results. I kind of look at it the same way as the NFL any of the preseasons. The scores don't matter. It's like the old whose line is it anyway. It's about getting tuned up and getting ready for the regular season. Though, Greg, I will say the couple of big stories that happened while I was away, did not see Brandon Woodruff, the pitcher who's going to be out all of this year, did not see him signing a 2-year deal to stay with the team and come back in 2025. So
I was shocked, surprised, and happy.
Yeah, I hope a pleasant surprise, depending on the return. And then adding Gary Sanchez, the catcher who will back up William Contreras. So, you know, again, we ended the season with Craig Counsell leaving and all these, you know, all this free agency discussion and thinking, is this going to work? You know, there's always reason to hope. That God bless spring training. It is the best form of optimism out there for some of us.
Oh, Lord, yes.
We will unpack some of the news coming up in just a bit here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maybe saying that you are in favor of in vitro fertilization, IVF, but if your name is already on a bill dealing with so-called sanctity of life with provisions that could put IVF at risk, we got to wonder what's coming out when your lips are moving. We'll talk more about that this morning as well. A reminder that we have a new phone number across Civic Media that you can call us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Call it or text it. And, you know, the easiest way around all of this is to get the Civic Media app, because then when you're listening to a show, there's a button right there where you can call the show or text the show. You don't need to know the number. It's right there. Kind of like phone numbers, Greg, that, you know, I used to be really good at remembering phone numbers. And now you just hit the little button with the person's name. I don't know phone numbers anymore the way I used to.
Pat?
Yeah.
Pop quiz.
Yes.
Home phone number as a kid.
Oh, see, now that one I do know, because that's
Klondike 825.
Yeah, Klondike. Beachwood 45789. I actually use several of my childhood phone numbers in some form or another for passwords over the years.
Oh, way to put that out there in the world there, Pat.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, like I said, that's why I said some form of it. So you're going to have to do a lot of digging to figure that out. But that's because, again, I used to be so proud of myself. Like, oh, I remember this phone number. Now the one thing I needed a good memory for, I don't need that good memory for it anymore. Everything's all speed dial. So. Yeah. Use the app. Use the app. Just hit call, and you never have to know the phone number again. And Greg will be right there picking up the phone.
I will be. Hi, yes. Everybody. My name is Greg.
the old phone number will continue to work for at least a little while here, which I'm not even going to give because I don't want to confuse things. So just remember the new one, 855-75-CIVIC, and call or text it. And the reason I bring it up is that I'd really love to have you text and just say where you're calling from. We want to get a feel for, you know, who's texting us from what hometowns, where around Wisconsin. And I want to share this one that came in over the break from Ray. And he says, I do apologize if this is a repeat I am dealing with. I am a blind man working with Siri, who is just as handicapped as I am, it seems. But your description and your approach to the so-called far right and the so-called progressives or the far left makes no sense if you think this climate thing is a hoax and you cannot have the Ten Commandments on government or public property. You should not be able to have the rainbow flag on public property because the rainbow is in the Bible. I'm not a whine and crying lefty by any means, but let's just approach it in a fair and reasonable manner. One or the other. Thank you so much. And God bless Ray. And what I think I'm getting from him in there is what I also got on vacation talking to people. They'd be like, you know, I've met people from Ohio and Michigan and otherwise, and they'd say, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I have a morning radio show, you know, talks about Wisconsin news and politics. And then you know what comes next is the are you on the right or the left? Are you, you know, what team are you on? And I'm just like, relax. We're all friends. You know, say, look, we definitely come from a left of center perspective, but you know, we also know that most people are in the middle. Most people do not bankroll, you know, billionaires running on the far right or the far left. And we just want to talk about solutions to problems.
Yeah.
And I know what approach I come at that from, but how often we've said here and elsewhere that, you know, we have friends, right of center friends, left of center friends. We want to get back to arguing about the things we used to argue about, not whether democracy is good or bad.
Yeah.
Not whether we should hold an election or not, you know? So I think we're trying to burn books. Well, just, I don't have the details in front of me, but this morning I was noting that the Michigan Republican Party is so messed up. And we'll get into the ways the Wisconsin Republican Party is in a little bit, but the Michigan one's so messed up. They're holding two separate state Republican conventions this coming weekend because the one chair, who's an election denier, now denies the election and the decision that removed her as state chair of the Michigan Republicans, which I guess is on brand, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be an election denier, go all the way and just say, why even have them? I'll just do what I want to do.
I don't know if I asked this of Todd, Chad, or Jane. I talk to a lot of people here at Civic Media.
Yes, you do. Yes.
But yeah. Give me your thoughts on this. At what point do you think it's a possibility that the current modern Republican Party splits off into two pieces like they did when William Howard Taft kind of split it into the business Republicans? Teddy yeah. Roosevelt kind of was – he took that mm-hmm. old Republican banner – At what point do you think this center-right Republican Party might say, we're done, we're doing our own thing, you guys can just be far, far right, you are the MAGA Republicans or the MAGAs or whatever. Do you think that's a possibility, or do you think it'll all come together again?
I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's going to be instant because of recent history, meaning the past 40 years or so, that every effort to have a third party, you know, where they go, oh, everybody's going to get behind us because we're not one of the two parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they fall short. And rather than sticking with it, they yeah. just say, well, I guess that didn't work.
Yes.
And, you know, we had the more recent example. Remember, we talked about the author who, you know, Hubert Humphrey gave this speech in 1948 and said, we should stop being such a racist party. And all the Southern racists in the party said, to hell with you. They left. It took a while, but they're now, you know, the base of the Republican Party. Yeah. But again, it took, you know, 20 to 40 years to get to that point. So, yeah, of course, that's what's happening right now. I'm just not sure what it all looks like, you know, a few years down the road.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean,
well, it is because, again, in the meantime, you know, when this is still when the divisions are still rather fresh, is when tempers really flare. Again, coming back to Michigan, you know, sometimes it has come to like fist fights and things like that. And nobody wants that. Again, we want to have reasonable disagreements, but and I know this is a weird way to phrase it, but democracy is nothing more than election losers not getting violent and saying, you know what, we'll come back and we'll try again. At its core, democracy is one person, one vote, and if you lose the vote, you don't resort to violence.
Yeah.
And we've got people that don't, you know, starting with Donald Trump whipping up a crowd on January 6th saying, no, we'd rather violently take the government.
Yep.
So I don't know. Hey, I wonder how far away folks were listening here. But here's somebody texting in saying, I agree the Republican parties are a mess, but I wanted you to know that I'm streaming you live in Rockbridge County, Virginia, from one of the seven natural wonders of the world, Natural Bridge Station, Virginia. Thank you very much, Ray. Well, thank you, Ray. We appreciate that very much, and keep those coming in. Again, we're not asking you to text every day, but we'd just love to get a little representative sample of, you know, where you are and what you might happen to think on what we're discussing in, you know, some way, shape, or form here. And we were going to talk more in this segment, again, about, you know, IVF, but Ray's text really got us on a nice little tangent here about making sure that when we have these discussions, have a point of view, have your values, have your favorite guy, whether it's Trump or Biden or somebody. But, you know, it's about when it's all said and done, you got to be able to shake hands and say, okay, well, we lived fight another day.
Yep. Agreed.
I would hope.
Agreed.
One of my favorite cartoons used to be the wolf and the sheepdog, the old Warner Brothers cartoons. Well, they'd punch in on the clock. And, yeah. You know, they'd fight like crazy about the herd, but then they went home afterwards, you know, and that's the way it should have worked out.
Exactly.
All right. Pam Yonke's got her farm report coming up, and then Christina Laurie next. You're up north. Welcome back to The Uplift. It's when we visit with Christina Laurie, my colleague at Up North News, who works on our daily newsletter. Have you signed up for it yet? You could fix that by going over to upnorthnewswi.com and click newsletter in the top banner. It's worth your while. Trust me. Christina, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Even better after that little promo.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm glad to see this topic here that you put in the newsletter. Well, I'm glad anytime you're talking about Wisconsin food or just food, period. And in this case, it's about Wisconsin cheese. I think our last couple of conversations have been about pizza cheese. And before that, maybe cheese curds. This one is, to me, really interesting. The difference between 5-year, 10-year, and 15-year aged cheddar, which, you know, some people, you know, wine gets better with age, and I certainly prefer bourbon that's been aged 9 years rather than 9 weeks. But I'm sure people might be a little skeptical on the aged cheddar. So what have you learned about this?
A lot of people have this question. I mean, you've probably walked into the grocery store, and if you look at the deli section, they'll have the Hook's Cheese Company cheeses packaged as either 5, 10, or 15. And the only discernible difference by sight is the price tag. I mean, they are wild. You can get half a pound of cheese. The 15-year cheddar runs upwards of $30 for just half a pound of it. Right. So we wanted to dive into what actually is the taste difference between them. And there is, especially if you've honed your, you know, Wisconsin cheddar skills. So the 5-year cheddar really tastes close to pretty much regular cheddar. Hooks won't like that I say that, but it does. The 10-year is where you start to notice the difference. It's one of the best sellers. It's one of the only 10-year cheeses to win first prize at the American Cheese Society contest. And the real difference there is that it is sharper. It has that bite to it. Once you get to the 12-year cheddar, it turns a little bit sweeter. It tastes like honey and it's borderline crumbly. And then once you hit the 15, if you have that money, you will notice a difference. You'll notice tanginess in the back of your throat followed by sweetness. And then it's almost like a buttery texture too. So the 15 really combines the best of the 10 and the 12 into the 15. And then if we're one of the lucky few to secure a block of that coveted 20-year cheddar that they release every few years, it had that eye-popping price tag of $209 a pound the last time it was released 2 years ago. That is, it's really like, it should be on the Wisconsin food bucket list. What's the most aged cheddar you've tried, Pat?
I believe it is the 10, and I very much noticed a difference. Again, not until I got a little bit, you know, a little bit older, grayer, whatever, where I said, hey, I like this sharper cheddar, and really came to appreciate it. But then I went to Marietta Gouda in Thorpe, and first off, I didn't know till my 40s that I liked Gouda, but I did, and then tasted the difference in aged Goudas. And again, big difference. And you find your favorite. For mine, it's the one between 9 and 18 months aged. And I just can't help but think about the way that cheeses age well, you know, like wine, like bourbon, like so many other things. Milk would not. You would not want a milk that's aged 10 years. Cheddar, it works. Gouda, it works. Milk, not so much.
The way they do this is so interesting, too. They store this cheddar in caves. I mean, it's crazy. It just seems so non-technical for the world that we're living in today. But it's so interesting.
It is. And I, like I said, as I, you know, go through the years here and, you know, acquire these different tastes, it's always fun when you go, oh, I really like this versus that, as opposed to something like, say, you know, scotch is the example that I use compared to bourbon or wine or things. I just don't think I'm ever going to acquire a taste for that. But, you know, maybe we're having this conversation 5 years from now and it's totally upside down. You just don't know.
We'll say roll the tape.
That's right. On Wednesdays, we have our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. So we're talking about climate all the time here on Up North News Radio. But it's certainly a part of our regular news coverage as well. And one of our newsletter stories is about Wisconsin cities to avoid if you want to avoid the worst of climate change.
Of course, we had to put a positive spin on it. So in other words, these are the best cities to live in if you like the climate as it is and you don't want Wisconsin to start feeling like you're in St. Louis, Missouri, which right now is the current forecast by the year 2040, if things continue as they are. So the top two cities in Wisconsin, Pat, can you guess? Because they're actually in fairly different geographic locations.
No, because I clearly misinterpreted that at first, thinking it was going to be where cities where you got the worst climate change, and I would have guessed anything along the Great Lakes. You know, I was going to guess, you know, rising lake levels, but cities to avoid the worst of the climate change, you know, again, I would think something interior like a Wausau, for example. But then I'd also say there must be something to say about the Driftless region, but I'm really not sure. So I'm very interested to hear these answers.
It's actually the opposite. The places along the coastline fared better. They might have, that's kind of the difference between weather and climate. So The lake effect can cause a lot of changes to weather. And that's why the forecasts are always changing. It's a lot of times hard for meteorologists to pin down exactly how much snow you're going to get. That's when you get those ranges, you know, 2 to 12 inches of snow in Milwaukee. That always makes me chuckle. But that's the difference between weather and climate. Their climate overall is pretty stable, also thanks to the lake effect. So Green Bay and Milwaukee are the top two cities in Wisconsin if you want to avoid the worst effects of climate change. They officially call them climate resilient cities, and the ranking was done by experts who considered population, extreme weather, risk and readiness for natural disasters, clean energy, and air quality. An important point to note about this is that overall, wherever you live in Wisconsin, it was pretty positive. I mean, our air quality scores, minus the exception of those 2 weeks in the summer where things were looking dismal, are relatively good. And we actually provided links in our newsletter, which is why it's great, if I'd encourage anyone to sign up, where you can enter your zip code and you can find your air quality score any time of day, any time of year. So if you're like me and you have asthma, or you have a family member like my dad, who also, he has even worse asthma than I do, it's nice to check that score before going outside on a walk. It'll tell you, you know, the best time of day to go if you want to make sure you're not damaging your lungs.
Now, what you just heard from Christina was the right way to talk about this. Wisconsin's good fortune to not get the worst impacts of climate change, as opposed to the way that Ron Johnson said it in a Senate hearing a few months back, where he said in so many words, in Wisconsin, we shouldn't even care about climate change because, you know, we're going to be safe there, which was completely the wrong thing to say. So listen to Christina about, you know, why we have the good fortune that we do to live here.
And Pat, notice I didn't use any bleepable words when describing climate change. I know Ron Johnson, a lot of times he likes to call it out as BS.
Yes. And again, for you know, reasons known only to him, we have to constantly correct the record. This week marks one of those interesting weeks, the one that we get every 4 years with the extra day, leap day, which I have to admit, I don't know that I've ever known anybody born on a leap day or had anything interesting happen there, at least not off the top of my head. But for other people, obviously, February 29th is a big deal.
Yes. So my job prior to this, Pat, you know, I was working at WISC, a station in Madison, and a well-known Madison news anchor, Mark Kane, if you live in the area, you probably know that he just recently retired last month, and he is also a leap day baby. So even though I'm not going to spill his actual age, he has a lot of experience under his belt, but he is still technically a teenager, because he has not had a lot of calendar-worthy birthdays. So people who are born on February 29th are known as leaplings. There are only 21 million people in the world, and I say only. I'm sorry, I read this incorrectly. Leaplings share their birthday with just 5 million people in the world, while all the rest of us average about 21 million people born on our birthdays.
Oh, so okay.
We thought it would be fun to look at just some things that only happen during leap years and learn a little bit about the history. So here's a fact that stood out for me. So leap days, we were wondering why they happen in February. You know, like, why does February only have 28 days to begin with? Mm-hmm. So apparently it turns out that has to do with men and egos. So February has, when they were developing the calendar during the Roman Empire, the month named after Julius Caesar, July, had to have 31. August initially only had 29 days. But then when Caesar Augustus became emperor, he didn't want to have, you know, himself named after the month that had less days than Julius Caesar. So he changed August to 31.
Oh, Lord.
And it's unclear how he decided to steal those days from February, but he just, you know, that's what he did. So that's why it happens in February. With a little bit, this is a super fun fact that maybe Taylor Swift, she's the only person that could take advantage of this. She's been jet setting over the past few weeks. So yes, with a bit of advanced planning, leaplings can enjoy the world's longest birthday. So you start in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And if you travel the reverse way around the world back to New Zealand, and technically you can sustain your birthday for more than 36 hours. I am not that's out of my realm of calculation, but you'll just have to take our word for it. And then just an interesting fact that even in the year 2024, leaplings also run into technical issues. It's kind of, if you think back to 2K when they thought all the computers were going to explode, a lot of computer systems, they still just register February as 28 days. So when they're, you know, renewing their driver's license, whereas a normal person's driver's license will expire on their birthday, theirs will come up unless the DMV prints it just manually as an invalid expiration date. You know, it'll say like expires February 29th, 2025. Well, that's a date doesn't exist. So they run into this at like a lot of different places that you wouldn't think of.
It's funny. It's like Y2K. It's like you'd think they'd figure out this technology by now.
Exactly. You think, especially with AI. So maybe this will not be valid by the next leap year. Won't happen until 2028.
Oh, that's true. God, so much can happen between now and then.
Do you think it's a brutal joke, Pat, that leap years always fall on election years? Anything, we'd love one less day of political ads.
Wouldn't we, though? Yes. I mean, I always think of presidential elections and the Summer Olympics, you know, are always in those years. And then these leap days, which I never knew why they were in February. And now I know. I learned something. And you would, too. If you caught that in our newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Lurie, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well, Pat.
And now getting back to the other story we're talking about today, and that is Republicans backpedaling on what the Alabama Supreme Court said and how they support in vitro fertilization, despite their names being on proposals or legislation for so-called sanctity of life, which could impact IVF. I would direct you to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where Jesse O'Poyne has a story about how candidates are saying they support IVF, including Eric Hovde. But then there's similarly a story in there from Hope Carnop talking about how there's a new ad that targets Eric Hovde on abortion and implies the U.S. Senate candidate opposes exceptions for rape and incest. But now he says he's for exceptions for rape or incest. While running for Senate in 2012, Hovde said he was, quote, totally opposed to abortion and supported overturning Roe v. Wade. Now Roe v. Wade is gone. But 12 years later, he says he'd rather put the issue to voters and support exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. Again, the same folks who said that, you know, Roe v. Wade was settled law once upon a time. Hovde has been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life in the past. That group opposes exceptions for rape and incest, but has recently said it does support emergency medical exceptions. So totally opposed in 2012, but exceptions and IVF support in 2024. Seems to me if you really want to claim that you care about babies, let's start by keeping them from, I don't know, getting shot in school. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gone.
Hey, they were handing out Grammys on this day in 1980, and Michael Jackson got his first Grammy on this day in 1980, Best R&B Performance for Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, which I'm pretty sure was from the Off the Wall album.
Yes, it was.
Which was such a good album, and you know was foreshadowing of some really good things for Michael Jackson, until they weren't.
You want to hear an unpopular opinion of mine?
Sure.
Off the Wall's better than Thriller.
Ooh.
You take PYT off of Thriller and put it on Off the Wall. It is a perfect record. Off the Wall is better than Thriller. Come at me in the comments.
Wait, let me get that new phone number out there. 855-75-CIVIC. That again, 855-75-CIVIC, which you can call or text and let us know what you think of this highly controversial musical opinion by one Greg Bach. On this day in 1922, there was a challenge to the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, you know, the one that let women vote. But the U.S. Supreme Court on this day in 1922 rebuffed that challenge and upheld the rights of women to vote. And we'll talk more about that in our next hour with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. The number one song on this day in 1961 was by one Chubby Checker.
It's pony time! Get up! Boogity, 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 shoot! Hey now, everybody! Boogity, boogity, shoot! Leave the Union Hall!
This is one of those where, again, no disrespect to Chubby Checker, to the doo-wop era, to any of it, but in every era, you know that we're getting near the change when songs start sounding exactly alike. And that's where we're getting at that point in 1960, 1961, right before the Beatles come on board and change everything.
On this clip, it has this record. And I swear to God, here are some of the titles of the songs. The Twist. Let's Twist Again. Slow Twisting. Twist It Up. And don't forget a song that's called The Hucklebuck.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That at that point, yeah, you've ridden that pony, including this song, Pony Time by Chubby Checker, the number one song this day in 1961. Happy 70th birthday to Neil Schon. He spent some time as a guitarist in Santana. He joined Santana at 17.
Yep.
And if I read correctly, was it Eric Clapton or somebody invited him to join Derek and the Dominoes?
I think it was,
but he joined Santana instead at age 17, and then went on to found some other bands you might have heard of: Bad English, Journey. It's hard to pick any one particular guitar solo, just because I really like the Journey song "I'll Be All Right Without You." Here's a little bit of the guitar solo from the near the end of that one.
Oh, just schlocky 80s guitar. I love it.
Yep. Well, schlocky, yes, but I mean, you do that. You know, even no matter how long you practice on Guitar Hero, you're not going to get that the way Neil does.
Oh, all right. Challenge accepted. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. We're going to have a Guitar Hero challenge here on the radio. That's
Guitar Hero. I'll bring in my real guitars.
Finally, so Neil Schon is 70 today. One more birthday. Josh Groban is 43 years old today.
Women, prepare.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains.
Oh, you know who I like? I like that Josh Groban. You raise me
up. So it was a nice day yesterday, and I'm listening to all these various clips, trying to find, you know, Pony Time, yeah, and picking out Neil Schon guitar solos and a few other things. And then up comes Josh Groban. At that point, Sherry, who had the day off yesterday, wanders into the office and says, "I need to take you away. You clearly need to go for a walk." And she was right. I needed an intervention at that point. Like,
you know what I like about Josh Groban a lot, though? Like, I'm not the biggest fan of his music, but what I love about him is his sense of humor and his sense of humor about himself. He's so funny and so self-deprecating, but he's so talented that one doesn't need to exist with the other.
You have to have that. It's, you know, Michael Bolton again. Yep. Once you realize you become like this caricature, you know, Rick Astley's always had a good point of view on, you know, how he is seen, and go with it. Oh, okay. It is International Polar Bear Day.
Hey, man, you raised Josh up, Pat.
I did. It's International Kahlua Day, International Pokemon Day, National Strawberry Day, National Protein Day, National Retro Day. Now, there's one I could have gotten behind. Today is Special Operations Forces Day. It is World NGO Day, Non-Government Organizations. World Spay Day, as in spay or neuter your pet. Ooh. And Big Breakfast Day. And I don't know, I didn't click on it to see who came up with Big Breakfast Day, but again, that would be a national holiday for me. Love the Big Breakfast.
I love Big Breakfast. I love Second Breakfast.
Yes. I, you know, here in the Eau Claire area, of course, I mean, we were ground zero for the lumber industry back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still have replicas of lumber camps and things that you can tour. And they would talk about these breakfasts, you know, these lumberjack breakfasts, because they'd be out in the woods all day burning calories like crazy. So you'd see how big the breakfasts were. And it's like, I love that. I love the thought of it. But I keep forgetting the other half of the equation means you can have the big breakfast, but then are you burning 4,000 calories?
No,
I'm not. I'm not burning 400 calories on some days. I have to admit, I'm just not. So enjoy that big breakfast day. But if you're not out, you know, running around after this, then you might be doing it wrong. One more serious history note, and I mention it because of recent events in Russia. Another one of Vladimir Putin's political opponents, Boris Nemtsov, was assassinated in Moscow this day in 2015. He was shot 4 times in the back while out walking with his girlfriend. Before his death at age 55, he was an outspoken critic of Vladimir Putin, criticizing the government. Because remember, Putin's been around for a quarter century now.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a dictator, you get to hang around. seen as increasingly authoritarian, undemocratic. He was highlighting widespread embezzlement, profiteering ahead of the Sochi Olympics. And then he was really opposed to military involvement in the Ukraine. And again, was assassinated, not by SEAL Team 6, but again, making the point that, as we did earlier today, you can either act in a way that is legal and accountable to the voters, or you can end up being a dictator, not for a day, but for a long time, if you allow your country to go in that direction. So let's really think twice about where some people would like to take the United States. We'll talk about the League of Women Voters, but first, civic media reporter James Kelly joins us next. You're up north.
I can stand on my